A week or so into the pandemic, I had every reason to feel lucky. I was healthy, safe, working from home, and yet I felt like I was carrying around this heavy weight of sadness all the time. And then I ran across a piece in the Harvard Business Review with a title that explained, "That discomfort you're feeling is grief." It was an interview with psychologist David Kessler. He's one of the world's foremost experts on grief. And it was about how we find meaning even at the worst of times, even in the face of trauma.
I counseled someone after the Las Vegas shooting. She was at the concert, saw people die around her. One of the things that I said to her is, if it's just all horrific, it's harder on your psyche. I said, "I'm so curious, can we go back to the story and you review it with me and just tell me if you can find any good that happened in the shooting?" And at first she went, "No, of course not." And then I went, "Let's go back and tell me every detail." And all of a sudden, she said, "Oh my gosh. There was a guy in a wheelchair, and people grabbed him and put him under the stage for safety." I said, "That's the good. If we can recognize that good, it doesn't take away a horrific shooting or a pandemic, but it helps us integrate it all. It helps it not just be post-traumatic trauma that lives on in us."
David Kessler worked with Elizabeth Kubler-Ross on the famous 5 stages of grief, and he recently added a 6th, finding meaning. And that's our subject this hour. How can we, individually and collectively, find meaning in the experience of this pandemic?
Great question. So let me do the stages for you around the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
Denial. This can't be happening in our modern world. Really? There's a virus? We don't know how to fight? This can't be. Anger. I'm going to lose my job over this? Well, that destroys me. That upsets me. I'm furious about that. Bargaining. All right, let me get this straight. If we stay home for 2 weeks, everything will be back to normal, right? That's the deal? Depression, sadness. This is going to go on? You're not sure of the end date? Well, this is sad. And then acceptance. All right, this is going on. This is our reality. What can we do now in this? Acceptance is where the power lies, where the action takes place. Then meaning we find by recognizing meaningful moments. I'll give you some examples. I live on a block. I don't know, there's 30 houses on my block. I've never known a neighbor. I maybe knew 2 neighbors on each side. In a pandemic, we now have everyone's phone number. We're all on a text chain together. Someone's going to the grocery store. We say, "Hey, the elderly man at the end of the street, does he need anything?" That text is a really meaningful moment we're all having now. In this bad, there is good. If we name these meaningful moments and we see some of the pockets of light in the darkness, when we come out of this, we are more likely to have post-traumatic growth instead of post-traumatic stress.
So why do you think just naming this as grief has helped everybody feel better?
A couple of reasons. I think this pandemic is different than anything we've dealt with. The uncertainty is unnerving.
Mm-hmm.
And then people were feeling something in them that they didn't identify that was also unnerving. So I think when they, you know, when they heard grief, they were like, oh my gosh, that's it. This is it. That's what this sadness is. That's what this heaviness is. There was something about naming it that decreased the uncertainty in us.
Yeah, funny how that works.
It's interesting, in the pandemic, someone was saying the other day, how can I be happy? And I say, you know, happy might be a stretch right now. I'm sanitizing my groceries. How can I find happiness? I mean, I'm afraid to wash my face in the shower. I'm afraid if I touch my face in the shower, I'm going to give myself the coronavirus. How's there happiness in this? I'm that paranoid. That's how we're all living right now.
You know, the funny thing is, when you said, it's okay to not be happy right now, of course you're not. I could feel my shoulders drop.
It takes energy to keep your feelings down, yes. It's a byproduct of our self-help movement. We're the first generation that has the luxury of feelings on feelings. So we feel sad, but I shouldn't feel sad because I've got enough food. I feel angry, but I shouldn't be angry because no one I love has died.
Mm-hmm.
And we half feel all our feelings and suppress them. And so we're exhausted from that.
Yes.
And the truth is, if you allowed yourself to feel the sadness, it would move through you in a few minutes. If you allowed yourself to feel the anger, it would move through you in a few minutes. And you would be done with that feeling and you would go to the next one.
You worked with Elizabeth Kubler-Ross.
Right.
And together, the two of you identified the five famous stages of grief. And the final stage was always acceptance. But you've recently added another one, finding meaning. So what's the difference?
Yeah. My younger son died a few years ago.
Yeah.
And I thought, when I was in my darkness, what is the light when you're in this kind of pain? And I'd study Viktor Frankl's work, and I was just so amazed at, how do you find light in the darkness? How did they do that? How did they appreciate a sunset in a concentration camp?
Right.
And I thought about meaning, and I began to research it and read about it and interview people who have a spouse die after 30 years, or a parent die, or a child die. And I realized that people who found meaning, it didn't take the pain away of loss, but it gave it a cushion. And the cushion sort of held the pain.
Tell me what you mean by meaning.
People hear that and they go, wait a minute, there's no meaning in my loved one being murdered. There's no meaning in my loved one dying from COVID-19. I agree. Meaning is what you will do after. It can be your change because you knew this person. It can be your change by how they died and you want to prevent it. It can be how you connect to them, what you do in their honor.
One way people find meaning, I think, is through memorial services. What are we going to do after a pandemic? Like, how do you do that collectively when millions of people are out of work and hundreds of thousands of people have died? It's almost like we need a global memorial service.
It is different than anything we have seen since probably, I think, World War II, with the AIDS crisis, with 9/11, with Vietnam. You're able to bury the dead. You're able to gather.
Right.
You're able to have those rituals. We're not having the rituals these days. Not only that, for anyone who's had any recent grief, every grief group in the country got shut down. One of the things I did, because I was looking that like this was so painful, and I know when I'm just feeling helpless and in pain, I know the antidote for me is to take action. So I set up an online Facebook group for everyone, whether it's COVID-19 or your loved one died right before that, who's in grief and had nowhere to go. And I thought, oh, it'll be interesting. I'll get a few people in. The first day, over 1,000 people.
Wow.
Now, I go on daily, twice a day.
Twice a day?
For people in grief to let them know the world is not recognizing your loss now, and you can't mark it and can't have a ritual, but we're here to see you. We're here to witness your grief in the meantime.
I've been trying to think about how we come out of COVID. And one thing that really struck me in your book is you talked about one way to find meaning in somebody's death is to remember that you are the legacy of the person that you loved who's died. So I've been trying to think, what would change if we thought, all of us, we are the legacy of the 200,000 people who died? What would we do? Would we do anything different?
Right. How would we hold that legacy?
Yeah, it feels like that's the choice we have, and right, that it's important that we talk about it.
Right. Do I go back to work and do I just pretend like everything's fine and nothing happened?
Yeah.
Or do I go back to work and go, everything's changed. What now? How do we honor them? How do we move forward? How do we make sure that nothing like this happens again? How can we live in a world that's more prepared for this? Every generation gets challenged. This is ours. The question isn't, what are we going to do after this? Who are we going to be?
David Kessler is one of the foremost experts on death and grieving. He's written many books. The most recent is called Finding Meaning. And if you're interested in his daily free online grief group, you can find the information at grief.com.